The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Rivka Skidmore from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Flavor is about helping you live a healthier, happier lifestyle. February House Cleaning Checklist. Some house cleaning and home preventative maintenance tasks only need to be done once or twice a year. The problem is, we forget to do them once or twice a year. The best plan is to break down annual and seasonal house cleaning and maintenance tasks by month. Nothing gets too backed up, and things eventually get done, all without a major life overhaul. Here is the February house cleaning checklist that works best for me. Number 1. Embrace the nesting instinct. Launder all your home's bedding this month to get each room clean and ready for spring. Clean all bed linens, including comforters, duvets, bed skirts, pillows, etc. Launder what you can, dry clean the rest. The spin cycle. Fluff up down pillows with a short spin in the dryer. No heat, please. For linens and things, and especially good time to clean out your linen closet, rotate little used linens and towels to the front of the line and launder everything. On the flip side, turn your mattresses. Shelf life. Clean your bookshelves and take everything down and dust. Now, consider very carefully what you return to the shelf. Does it really deserve to be there? Would it be happier in a secondhand bookstore? By the book. Vacuum each book before you reshelve it, using the vacuum cleaner soft brush attachment. The Clean Air Act. Replace the filter in your heating unit. Up against the wall. Check the walls for nail holes, blemishes, and scuffs. And heavy thoughts. Get your beefy significant other to help you move all the large appliances out from the walls so you can vacuum behind and underneath them. Don't forget to change the water filter behind the fridge while you're back there. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. How to beat work-related stress when you're blind or visually impaired. This is by Shannon Carollo. If you were an adult, think back to the time in childhood when the idea of working to support yourself seemed novel and fun. You could live on your own, come and go as you please, eat what you like. Maybe that was just my dream, as you were a health food household and I wanted Cookie Crisps. Enter the real world. There is such a thing, John Mayer. It's not quite what we had in mind, huh? Sure, we can live on our own, come and go as we please. Well, my two preschool daughters make this complicated. And eat what we want. Wouldn't you know it? I eat healthy now, too. There is, however, much more to the real world. We feel the pressure of finding a job and performing that job well. We understand the necessity of a paycheck, and we spend a great deal of time at work or commuting to work. We are usually left exhausted, and the stress can rapidly accumulate, leaving us worse for wear. How can we healthy cope with stress, decreasing the toll it takes on our emotional and physical health? Exercise. It manages stress because feel-good endorphins are released, self-confidence is gained by exerting oneself, and the mind is distracted from work-related worries when exercising. Not to mention, a healthy body can more easily handle stressors, so try to involve exercise in your weekly routine. Pursue a hobby. It can help your mind unwind and provide a stress-relieving outlet as you focus on doing what you enjoy. Examine your interests and determine a hobby to pursue in your free time. Socialize with others. Regardless of whether you draw energy from time spent alone or with others, you are a social being. You have a need and a desire to connect with and relate to others. Acknowledge how much time is ideal for you to spend with others, perhaps daily or every other day, and seek opportunities to spend with peers. Invite your neighbors over for dinner, join a social recreational club, participate in a team sport, get involved with church, or become a member of a volunteer group. Develop relationships. If you are meeting others through social groups and activities and taking the time to get to know the people in the groups, you may find you connect well with and enjoy a few others. Having 1, 2, or 3 very good friends greatly increases your quality of life, lowering your stress levels and improving emotional health. Volunteer. A sense of accomplishment and well-being is gained from actively contributing to society. Stress decreases as the focus is taken from hardship and stress to helping others. Become involved in this mutually beneficial experience. Partake in endeavors and relationships that enrich your emotional health and well-being, becoming equipped to manage work-related stress before it feels overwhelming. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Gluten-free pineapple upside-down cake. Prep time is about 10 minutes. Cook time is 25 minutes. This is by Sabrina Caroli. Makes 12 cupcakes. Ingredients. 1 box of yellow cake box mix, or gluten-free yellow cake, like Betty Crocker gluten-free, the 15-ounce boxes. 1 jar of maraschino cherries with no stems. 1 to 2 cans of pineapple chunks. 1/3 cup of unsalted butter, 2/3 cup of packed brown sugar, and 2 large non-stick muffin pans. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. First, I spray each cupcake pan hole with non-stick spray. I was sure to go up the side so the cake doesn't stick. And then, I melt the butter and mix with the brown sugar. Pour the brown sugar mixture into each muffin area, and add 7 pineapples and a full-size cherry pressed into the brown sugar. Bake for 20 to 25 minutes or until the cake batter is not sticking to the toothpick. Let cool for 10 minutes and then take a knife and separate the outer edge of the cupcake from the pan. Then, using a cooling rack and place the top over the muffin and turn over, the cupcakes should fall right out. Let cool completely or eat warm. Your choice. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. 10 Easy Tips for Organizing an Older Adult's Home. I have worked with seniors for some years now. From my experience, organizing seniors is a little different. They're more likely to be the ones that want to downsize and get rid of their stuff, and they're also more likely to have health issues like bending, knee problems, or walking up steps. Here are 10 helpful organizing tips for organizing an older adult's home. I also included a medication checklist at the end of this. I hope you enjoy. Raise store items to waist height. Store items no lower than the upper thigh. Always store frequently used items at waist height and no lower than your upper thigh for maximum ease. Clear clutter from steps and add lights to dark areas, like near stairways. Hang baskets on walls near stairs so they have a place to hold items and remember to bring them up the stairs. Have a larger kitchen. Buy a small, sturdy rolling cart to help move stuff around without carrying it. Take as much as possible off the floors and stairs, and add another railing for extra support if there's only one railing. Have all the important documents like passports, life insurance, will, power of attorney, social security cards, account statements in a secure and locked place in the home. Keep a recent copy of the medication list posted on the kitchen refrigerator. You may want to include contact numbers for a close relative. Keep valuables in one place and under lock and key. This way, if you have caregivers coming in and out, you can rest assured that their valuables are protected. Amazon even has some that mount to the wall. Keep all bills in one place, in an accordion folder that can stand enough tabs that you can write large words on it. A 13-tab accordion folder will work for any single older adult. Get helping hands. Don't expect to do it yourself. It's okay to ask a family member to help you remove clutter. If they want what's best, they will be happy to help. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The Best Advice You Were Told About Taking Care of Yourself by Sabrina Caroli. There are many tips about how to take care of yourself. Eat well, do exercise regularly, stay positive, practice moderation, all of which are great reminders for everyone to practice on a daily basis. Since this month's challenge is all about taking care of yourself, I asked fellow professional organizers to answer this question, and here are their responses. What is the best advice you are given about taking care of yourself? These ladies not only give you tips on how to take care of yourself in your personal life, they also share how to take care of yourself in your work life, too. Personal life. Taking care of yourself is crucial when you at least have time for it. Finding quick and easy ways to help you know and be loved is really important. If you're stuck on figuring out which take care tasks work for you, feel free to visit the challenge. When you least feel like you can afford to take a break is when you most need one. Janet Barkley. Regular self-care is important for overall wellness of life. Remember a time when you were so busy, day in and day out, you don't have a second to sit down and rest. How did you feel? Were you able to take care of everything effectively? It's difficult to sustain overall good health when you're not giving from a full cup. So being proactive and scheduling time for yourself is best and to help you withstand those busy days. So take time every week to schedule something, a walk, a beauty treatment, gardening, anything that's just for you. It will help you fill that happiness bucket. That's by Diane Quintana. Set aside time each day to nourish yourself through mindfulness meditation. It's an opportunity and a gift to be by yourself and with yourself fully. It's time experiencing some positive energy, and it's time to open up sources of strength, wisdom, and healing within you. Linda Samuels. Listen to yourself. Your body and your mind send you messages about needing peace, food, water. We rationalize this away, but instead should yield to them. Sienna Turner. Put it on your calendar, whatever you need to fill your cup, whether it be a workout, a massage, nap, pedicure, a walk with a friend, be sure to regularly schedule it on your calendar. I make sure I have a massage every month, and it's always on the books. Jody Bart Holtzband. While your home life balance is paramount, we also must look at how we act at work to see if we can do better and be more caring to ourselves when we are in the minds of busy activities. When at work, We need to be cautious of how we behave with ourselves. Answer these questions to help you determine how are you to yourself at work. Do I judge my actions after I do something? Do the actions of others make me bite my tongue and not speak up? How well do I eat at work? Does it change when I'm stressed? Do I care too much about someone else's opinion and less about my own? How do you behave when you fail at something at work? Answering these questions will make it easier for you to figure out what you do to work to yourself. We don't always know what we do these things to ourselves, so taking the time to be more self-aware of our behaviors will give us more clarity. Never care more than your client does. Hazel Thornton. When creating balance for your clients, don't forget to apply the same strategies to your own life. Audrey Kubo. Create your own non-negotiable boundaries around self-care practices that work for you. Sina Block. And above all else, I'm here to remind you that you are worthy of being taken care of, and it doesn't have to be by someone else. You can take care of yourself. It's more meaning if you do. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Safe cooking techniques for cooks who are blind or have low vision from visionaware.org. Safe cooking tips. Wear short sleeves or roll your sleeves above the elbow when working at the stove. Wear oven mitts to handle pots and pans. And set a timer to remind you when to turn off the stove and electrical appliances. To make chopping easier and safer, use a flexible arm task lamp for extra light, a cutting board with an attached pivot knife for safety, and a white cutting board that contrasts with a red apple. Make sure all of your appliances are in good working order and avoid overloading any circuits. Use a vegetable peeler instead of a knife for peeling fruits and vegetables. Use a pizza cutter rather than a knife for cutting, or a pivot knife that is connected to a cutting board. Don't store spices on a shelf above your stove. Always turn off your gas flame before removing a pan from the burner. And don't wear clothing with long loose sleeves when cooking. Cutting and chopping. Use trays or cutting boards in colors that contrast with your food. For example, keep a white cutting board for slicing apples or carrots and a dark colored board for onions. Make sure the cutting edge of your knife blade is facing downward before you cut or slice. You can identify the cutting edge of the knife or blade without touching it. Since the cutting edge is usually curved, try rocking the knife back and forth on a tabletop to determine when the cutting edge, which will rock, is facing downward. Try using a pizza cutter instead of a knife for slicing your sandwiches. Hold a light-colored measuring cup against a darker background when pouring milk, flour, sugar, and other light-colored ingredients. Measuring cups and spoons are available with large print, tactile, and contrasting markings. Use a measuring cup with raised numbers on the side, or mark a cup with a 3D pen, such as Highmark Tactile Pen or Spaten Line Pen. This is a 3D plastic liquid that makes raised lines, dots, and shapes to identify clothing, canned goods, frozen goods, and mark the settings on appliances. Use individually sized or stacking measuring cups to scoop desired amounts. Measure spices in your hand first to avoid pouring into a spoon. Some spice containers have a wide opening to insert a spoon. Or use measuring spoons with large numbers. Cold ingredients. Again, use color contrasts, dark pitchers and servers for milk, and other light-colored liquids, a white pitcher for dark liquids such as iced tea. When pouring into a glass, locate the pitcher by trailing your hand along the table. Locate the spout by moving your hand up the pitcher, and then turn the pitcher until the spout faces the glass. When pouring cold liquids into a glass, your finger placed over the edge of the glass can serve as a guide to help you know when the glass is almost full. With your other hand, move the glass toward the pitcher, keeping your index finger on the spout of the pitcher. Lift the pitcher slightly and touch the spout to the rim of the glass. Now, hook your index finger over the rim of the glass so that just your fingertip is inside the glass. Pour until you can feel water or other liquid reach your index finger. Also, listen for any sound changes as the liquid reaches the top of the glass. You can also try pouring with the pitcher in the sink or the glass of the cup on the adjoining countertop. This makes it easier to lift the pitcher or a kettle and can help with spills and cleanup. Try practicing with empty containers first and pour over a tray to catch any spills. You may prefer to use an electronic liquid level indicator known as Say When. This battery-operated device is placed at the top of a cup or a glass and beeps when the liquid reaches the top. The Sunbeam Hot Shot beverage maker heats 12 ounces of water in about 90 seconds at the touch of a button. It makes piping hot water for coffee, cereals, soups, cocoa, or tea. Microwave 1 cup of water for 2.5 minutes. Pre-measure the desired quantity of water and pour it through your automatic coffee maker with the filter basket in place. Fill a kettle with the desired amount of water before heating and pouring. And use an electronic liquid level indicator. This hurts. Use a vegetable peeler rather than a knife. Hold the fruit or vegetable in one hand and the peeler in the other. Grasp the handle with your thumb on one side and your fingers on the other, and don't touch the moving rod in the peeler. Hold the item at a 45-degree angle, and working in one half of the fruit or vegetable, start to peel the surface away from your body. Once peelings have been removed, check the section with your finger to feel if it's smooth. Peel until the half you're working on is finished, and then flip the item so that the unpeeled portion is downward and continue peeling. To determine whether you have any peel left, run cold water over the fruit and vegetable and feel the surface with your fingertips. Placing pans on a burner. Always position the pan correctly on the burner before turning on the stove. Flat surface stoves can be problematic, but some have a tactile contrast to indicate the burner. Again, never turn on a burner until your pan is in position. Check the evenness of heat around the pan by holding your palm at chest level and circling your hand to determine the location of the heat source. You can check and adjust the position of a pan on a burner using a wooden spoon. Make sure the handles on the pots and pans and knobs on the lids are heat resistant so that you won't accidentally knock or bump your pans. Also make sure your handles are turned in when cooking. Make sure oven racks are positioned correctly before turning on the oven, and always turn off the heat before removing items from the oven. When removing items, pull the oven rack partially out rather than reaching into the oven. Remember to push the rack back in and close the door as soon as possible. And use long, heat-proof oven mitts to remove any items from your oven. Know when you're going to place the hot item before you remove it from the oven. Slide the item to the side of the pan and slide the spatula underneath it. With the spatula, move an item to the center of the pan before flipping it over. Make sure you have one hand on the handle of the pan to prevent any tipping. If you were a seasoned cook before experiencing vision loss, you most likely relied on many techniques to determine when something was done, and certainly not by sight alone. So while food timers and talking thermometers and other devices help compensate for your vision loss, you also can learn to lean more heavily on skills and senses you've been using for years. Use touch to carefully determine when a cake is finished baking, or the toothpick test by inserting a toothpick in the cake. If you feel batter sticking to the toothpick, the cake is not done yet. Listen for your French fries to stop sputtering in their oil to know when they're done. Many foods smell a certain way when cooked. Learn to recognize the signals your other senses are sending you. Spreading. Practice with toast. It won't tear as easily as regular bread. With thick spreads like peanut butter or margarine, you could use an organized pattern to spread outward from a certain point, left to right, top to bottom, or center to outside. You can touch the food to make sure that the spreading is complete. Some people find it easier to spread with the back of a spoon instead of a knife. Cookbooks are available in Braille, large print, and recorded versions. If you have a computer and a printer, your own recipes can be typed and printed in a large font as you need, or they can be handwritten in large print with a bold line marker. A flexible arm task lamp and a reading stand can help position your reading material. Sometimes, a transparent yellow acetate overlay can make print easier to read. Low vision devices such as magnifiers, task lighting, and reading stands, and electronic and digital magnifiers can also help you read your cookbooks and recipes. There are many simple, inexpensive tools you may find in the kitchen. Several are listed on the AFB website or at visionaware.org. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Cheesy potato soup. Prep time, 25 minutes. Total time, 6 hours, 50 minutes. This has 10 ingredients and makes 6 servings in a crock pot. Ingredients. 4 slices cooked bacon. 1.5 cups chopped onion. 5 cups diced peeled russet potatoes, which is about 5 medium. 1 medium stalk of celery chopped. 1 carton of chicken broth, which is about 4 cups. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour. And 1.5 cups of half and half. And 1 bag of shredded cheese, about 2 cups. Spray half to a 4-quart slow cooker with cooking spray. In the cooker, mix onion, potatoes, celery, broth, salt, and pepper, and cover and cook on a low setting for 6 to 7 hours. In a small bowl, beat flour half and half and a wire whisk until well blended. Stir into soup. Increase the heat setting to high, cover, and cook about 30 minutes until thickened. Stir in cheese until well melted. Crumble bacon and spread over soup. Run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Rivka Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Flavor.